Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Well, we've been looking at the evolution of swearing over the past 75 years, from the days when damn first appeared on the big screen in Gone with the Wind to the present day, when far more offensive words are used routinely on TV shows that we watch every day and the content that we see online, of course. Well, dozens of you wrote in and called in to say that we overuse four-letter words these days and that doing so displays a lack of class at worst and overt laziness at best. Christina from Portland, Oregon wrote us to say, "Can't people be articulate enough to get their point across without being foul? I view people who pepper their daily conversations with swear words, especially the F word, as being truly classless." And we got this from Laura in North Dakota. "Foul language reflects ignorance and a lack of respect for yourself and others. If you have a mastery of language, you can express yourself without the use of vulgarity." Well, Christina and Laura, I have to say, both of you might find conversation with me outside of a radio studio to be a little bit tedious. However, we're going to continue this discussion today with none other than the bard, William Shakespeare, because even some of the greatest poets and writers down through the classics, for them, swearing has long been a vital form of communications. And Anya Saffer, who's a theater director and instructor at the Atlantic Acting School and director of Shakespeare plays, is here to tell us how. Hi, Anya.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, you are here with the theory that William Shakespeare and a lot of his contemporaries were overt swear word users.
They were masters of profanity. Shakespeare had thousands of profanities, many of which he made up. It was kaleidoscopic. And I think that when people say that profanity is a sign of inarticulateness, Shakespeare would be an example of how that is not so.
Well, here's an example that I wanted to use because I have read these plays too. Here's an example from Othello, Act 1, Scene 1. Listen.
"Even now, now, very now, an old black ram is topping your white ewe.
What profane wretch art thou?
I am one, sire, that comes to tell you your daughter and the Moor are now making the feast with two backs.
Thou art a villain.
You are a senator."
There's the evil Iago goading another character. I'm going to dance around this, but essentially saying, there's a black guy having sex with your white daughter. And finding a pretty nasty way to say it.
What an image, the beast with two backs.
I'm going to say this. There are lots of examples that we're avoiding for the purposes of this discussion because they might be too dirty in Shakespeare for a radio show. What are some other examples you can think of?
Oh, my God. There are countless, countless examples. Well, to name some examples of words that mean the same thing as the beast with two backs, there is thump, occupy, cope, clap. We have innumerable words that refer to the female genitalia, including the word nothing, which makes you wonder about the title, Much Ado About Nothing, as well as box unseen, and my personal favorite, the Netherlands, as well as Spain. And there are, you know, as you can imagine, countless Spain and the Netherlands. There are countless words for the male organ. Many of them are very funny, such as simply the name Roger with a capital R.
All right, well, let me give you another example, if I can, that we are going to dance around after we listen to it. Maybe we'll just let this one lie. Listen to Hamlet.
"Aye, lady, shall I sit in your lap?"
"No, my lord.
I mean my head upon your lap."
"Aye, my lord.
Think you I meant country manners?"
So there, as Hamlet is teasing Ophelia and talking about pastoral things, country matters, he's really sort of teasing her in a different way.
Well, there's clearly a word contained in the first word of that phrase, which had the same meaning then and the same risque quality that it does now. And Hamlet, throughout the play, is going back and forth between the sacred and the profane. He has the highest language, you know, perhaps that's ever been written, and some extremely low language, which I think really shows the fact that he's trying to find his way spiritually. He also says famously, "Get thee to a nunnery," to Ophelia. And at the beginning of that nunnery, that famous nunnery scene, he's criticizing men and himself particularly. He says, "We are errant knaves all. Believe none of us. Go thy ways to a nunnery." And he's saying it sincerely. Go to a nunnery. Protect yourself from corruption. Later in the scene, there's a turning point where he starts to become more onto her and her corruption. And then he says again, over and over, "Get thee to a nunnery. Get thee to a nunnery." And it seems to me that the word then takes on its slang usage, which is brothel.
Have your students had strong reactions when they've confronted for the first time that these concepts, these words, are actually contained in the pages of Shakespeare? I know it surprised me when I figured it out.
You know, I think honestly, my students by and large feel more trusting of Shakespeare, more enthusiastic about Shakespeare. I think that they know, even though some adults may try to close their ears to it, that life entails profaning and that profaning can be wonderful. It can be anti-establishment. A lot of artists are really attracted to that. And I think that they're grateful and excited to see that this part of life is being depicted with such imagination and color.
One of the things that Shakespeare did artistically and probably for business reasons was use elevated high concept and high language, but also knew that in front of the stage were the groundlings, the people who couldn't afford expensive tickets and might be into a different kind of humor. And he was working towards both of those crowds in his plays. And I think we do much of the same thing in our media today.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. There's a wonderful book called Shakespeare's Body. It is a 300-page glossary of Shakespearean profanities. And Eric Partridge writes in the introduction, he says, "Can we not finally be finished with this myth that the profanity in Shakespeare is there for the groundlings? Can we not be done with this classist notion?" And I completely, completely agree. It's interesting because I think of somebody like Louis C.K., right, who is extremely profane. And the smartest and most sophisticated people that I personally know in the performing arts industry, actors, directors, writers, they love him. They revere him. People are really awed by him. He's working at an extremely high level. So I don't like to equate thinking like a simpleton with appreciating profanity. Profanity is like anything. It can be used with wisdom and wit and multiple meanings and give you insight into the world and your existence, or it can be cheap and empty.
So you reject the notion that came from a couple of our listeners at the top, not to single them out, but you reject the notion that using profanity or swearing is just a crutch for either a limited vocabulary or a limited intellect.
I know exactly what they mean. I feel it too sometimes, even in myself or in the culture. I start to feel a little bit of self-loathing. Like, why am I using these words? It's so empty. It's so casual. I'm just throwing them around. However, I do not think that it is the fault of profanity. And I think that Shakespeare tells us that there's a way of using profanity that is just as imaginative and that can expand our worldview, that can expand our vocabulary, just like all language can.
Well, you have one foot in the world of Shakespeare and you have one foot in the modern world, clearly, Anya Saffer. How much do you swear in your daily life? Not at work, not when you're going through the script of Hamlet, but when you walk out here on the streets of Manhattan.
You know, I'm a native New Yorker. I do a certain amount of swearing. I love to express vehemence. I aspire to swear like my mother. She swears sometimes, always to excellent effect and for very specific reasons.
Razor sharp and to the point.
Yes.
Anya Saffer is a theater director and instructor at the Atlantic Acting School who aspires to swear just like her mother does. And you know what? I'm going to agree with that. That's how I aspire to, although I have to say, in fairness to my mom, I outdo her quite a bit. Thanks, Anya.
Thank you.